words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. Welcome to another program with the Truths to Live By radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Harriman Baptist Tabernacle in Harriman, Tennessee. And you're listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. It's my hope and prayer that we might be a blessing to you today.
There are forces in the world today who oppose our Christian faith. They attempt to destroy everything that's holy and control what preachers say. But God still has a few good men who won't bend, won't bow, won't burn. They will fight to the end to defend that faith until the day that the whole world learns. There are things we won't give over. There are things worth fighting for. The book and the blood and the rugged cross. One faith, one way, one Lord. When the world and the flesh and the devil press on and try to tear our strongholds down, we will stand our ground. Despite what the non-believers say, our God has never changed. His word still means everything it says. It is now and forever the same. The world may think they have won this fight, but there are some who can still be found, who will never give in and will never give up. We will stand our ground, our ground. There are things we won't give over. There are things worth fighting for. The book and the blood and the rugged cross. One faith, one way, one Lord. When the world and the flesh and the devil press on and try to tear our strongholds down, we will stand our ground.
To begin a new study today during the preaching portion of our broadcast, and I would like to ask you to open your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 3, and we're going to study together, Finding Your Way in Days of Apostasy. And one of the things that God used to bring about this message in my life and in my heart is found in Acts 13 and verse 36, where the Bible says, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God." That phrase of David serving his own generation by the will of God leaped off the page, grabbed a hold of my heart, and God said, "Will you serve your generation according to my will during these days of apostasy?" So with that thought fixed in our minds, you find your place in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you now because you first loved us. Thank you for Calvary, for the blood that was shed there upon that tree. Thank you for redemption, for reconciliation, for justification through the blood of the Lamb. Thank you for saving a wretch like me. Thank you now for the time to preach. I pray that your presence would be manifested in the hearts of your people, that the word of the Lord might have free course and be glorified. We'll bless your name and give you the thanks for all that's done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And so our Bibles are open to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Let's look to verse number 12 to begin our reading. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." And so as I began to consider, Lord, how can I serve you during my particular generation? The Lord took me to this passage of Scripture and showed me five simple truths that have stood the test of time. They are founded on the eternal Word of God, and these five truths stand as pillars which have withstood the storms. They are nothing new. They are nothing profound. They are what we who know God should already know and should already be doing. But they stand out as lampposts during a dark day of apostasy. They stand as guideposts, as signposts which point the way toward faithfulness and sincerity to our calling to walk with God in these last days. The first truth, godly living. Number two, sober thinking. Number three, right standing. Number four, Bible preaching. And number five, faithful serving. These five things will get the job done. If we would get back to godly living, sober thinking, right standing, Bible preaching, and faithful serving, then we would find our way in these days of apostasy. You see, this second epistle to young Timothy from the Apostle Paul was written in the closing days of the life of this missionary. Paul was in a dark, damp, dirty Roman dungeon. His ministry has been marked by suffering. Consider 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 23 through 33, where there we read that Paul, as one of the ministers of Christ, was forced to speak as a fool and begin to tell all about where he had been and what he had done. He would boast a little, not above his measure, but according to that rule which God had measured out unto him and distributed unto him. And there he mentions that he was in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Five times received he 40 stripes, save one of the Jews. Thrice was he beaten with rods. Once he was stoned. Thrice he suffered shipwreck. A night and a day he floated in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils by his own countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, and perils in the sea and among false brethren. He was in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, Paul said, what stands within, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul asked the question, who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed for evermore, knoweth that I lie not. Paul could call the Father of God the Son to witness to his testimony that it was one of truth. In Damascus, the governor, under the king, put a garrison about the city as he sought to apprehend Paul. And through a window in a basket, Paul was let down by the wall and escaped the hands of his persecutors. Many a time, no doubt, times that we do not have recorded in the Scripture, Paul narrowly escaped. His ministry, it was accredited and approved by his suffering, and presently he is about to face martyrdom. But while this stalwart man of God, this soldier of the cross, was nearing the end of his days, as he could see life coming to an end, he did not sit there worried about the future, wondering about his eternity. He sat there with a burning zeal to write to young Timothy. He mentions in the first chapter of the second epistle, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears. Paul said, without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Paul had a desire to see young Timothy. He was mindful of the tears of this young man. And when he called to remembrance, he says in verse 5 of chapter 1, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Paul remembered his heritage of faith, unfeigned faith. And he says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And so Paul exhorts young Timothy. He encourages young Timothy. He equips young Timothy, and he expects Timothy to pick up the torch and carry on the light of the gospel, to take up the sword and fight the good fight of faith, to take up the truth and faithfully preach the word of God, to pick up the mantle and walk with God in the coming days of apostasy. Paul desired Timothy to take the scriptures in heart and in hand and hold them with a deep and holy reverence and preach them without any regard for the fear of man, the flattery of man, the favor of man, but with all regard for the person of God, the presence of God, the power of God, the purpose of God, and ultimately the glory of God. Five truths Paul gives to Timothy to arm him for the fight. They stand as signposts to mark the road for the good minister of Jesus Christ to travel, and they stand as lampposts to light up the old paths in the last days of darkness and apostasy. But may we never, ever forget that nothing will be done apart from the filling of God's Spirit, and apart from the Lord Jesus, we can do nothing. John chapter 15 and verse number 5. Paul would say, Timothy, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. We thank you for making this ministry a part of your day. And in closing, we want to point you to the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And truly, it is written. God's word, every word, presents us with truths to live by. You've been listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. Please send all correspondence to Truths to Live By, P.O. Box 575, Harriman, Tennessee 37748. Or you can email us at bmarkcooley@gmail.com. And finally, brethren, pray for us.